Good morning. 00 hours. Cloudy. 4 degrees. Good morning. 0100 hours. Cloudy. 4 degrees. Good morning. 0200 hours. Cloudy. 5 degrees. Good morning. 0300 hours. Cloudy. 3 degrees. Good morning. 0400 hours. Cloudy. 4 degrees. Good morning. 0500 hours. Cloudy. 4 degrees. Good morning. 0600 hours. Cloudy. 6 degrees.
KE8RUH. 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 Grabbing a monster and I'll be back. N8DBF. NADBF.
What's up, Dakota? I'm actually just pulling into the driveway at work, so I got like one more in me.
I am just leaving, so a little late. Our schedules are no longer in sync because I have no desire to leave the house anymore when it's this cold out. But, all right, well, maybe I'll catch you this afternoon, dude. NADBF.
All right, I'll catch up with you soon. KE8RUH.
Good morning. Give me a couple minutes here. I got to reset a password.
Okay, KG8HS.
All right, NABBL.
Good morning, Dakota. How you doing?
I'm all right. I had to do some stuff outside this morning that I wasn't super happy about, but I'm hanging in there. How are you?
Yeah, I'm tired of winter, but oh well. I was looking on Fox News last night, and I guess there's some other storm brewing for later in the week.
I checked my Apple weather this morning, and it said that Wednesday, Thursday, I think, we're -7, -8, and that's actual temp, not wind chill, so that's fun.
Well, I just left Dearborn, and it was like 4, and now it's 8 out here by the airport, so, yeah, that's not, that's gonna be, what, about 10 degrees lower? Oh, well. Hey, are you familiar with any of these Wi-Fi open spots?
My truck is saying 6 right now, so I'm hoping it doesn't go any lower than that, but I think the wind chill is supposed to be outrageous today. Yeah, I've got an open spot 4 Pro. What do you want to know?
Oh, okay. Is that that one from, was it Lithuania?
I think it's Estonia.
Yeah, it's in Europe somewhere. None of the ham shops in the States sell that, do they?
No, sir, you gotta order direct or buy secondhand.
I was thinking of getting that, their latest model, I forget what it is, M1 something, forgot what it is. But I just have to call up Chase and tell them I'm making a purchase to this foreign country so they don't flag it.
Yeah, the M1KE, KF8S has it. Excuse me. It's actually a pretty cool little All-Star 2. It actually does everything. The only thing I don't like about it is it's not a hotspot. It's more of a gateway. So you can't use any other radios with it like you can an open spot. So if that's fine, then that's a sweet gadget, but I like using my radios.
Oh, yeah, I had an earlier Shark thing, and my son took it, so I need a new one. He needed it for a project. I was using my ICOM. I was using an ICOM, was it 52, I think, HT, for D-Star.
Yeah, they're sweet. I like the fact that I can cross-mode if I have to. I've been meaning to throw that in my bag. I should just carry that in an 878 around, and then I can screw around on MI-1. Statewide one, I mean, my bad.
It'll do all the modes?
Yes, sir, and I think it cross-modes every mode, too. Maybe not. It might not do D-Star or DMR. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Hey, and that's that lesser model. I think, was it $90 cheaper or something like that?
When I was doing my homework and going to make a purchase, I think I ultimately decided that the Pro was worth way more money, or worth more for the money, because it's got hardware vocoding instead of software, so it just sounds better. It does the cross-mode stuff. I've been super happy with it. It's like the most seamless thing I've ever used in ham radio. You turn it on, as long as it's got a network to connect to, your hotspot on your phone, it just connects, and then all you have to do is turn the frequency. Like, it's pretty slick.
Okay. And it's got a battery in it?
Built-in battery that you can replace on your own with, I think these batteries are available on Amazon. They're just a little flat pack LiPos. And, yeah, it's built-in. They're user serviceable, USB-C charging, PD, so you can plug it into any USB-C charger, which is awesome. And the battery life is great on it.
Hey, well, I'll get one of those then. Yeah, because I still want to use my ICOM HT. And, that'll work. Anyway, back to you, KG887.
Yeah, if you want to screw around with digital, I think that's probably, like, the best way to go. I mean, I've built Pi Stars and screwed around with all that stuff, and they work, but they're just finicky. They're more of a tinkerer's toy. This is just, like, out of the box, It's like a clear node. Like, it's just out of the box. It just works. The app's seamless. Everything just does what it's supposed to do. There's no finagling to get it to do it. And, yeah, that's really the only digital I have, actually, at this point. I don't have any digital radios except for my 705. And I bought that basically in place of a 9600 I had. Or no, I didn't buy it in place of it, but I returned my 9600 I had because I wanted to screw around on a DMR, but I was like, I already have an open spot at an 878 and at the time an RT3. It's like, I don't need a dedicated DMR radio to talk on DMR when I have this thing.
Yeah, cool. Okay. I'll see if I order one. I had a Shark Gateway before. I think the one I had was the earlier model. It was, you had to put a Cat5 connector on it. And my son wanted to use it for something else, so I'm looking to replace it.
I've been digging around looking for rumors, too, because back, God, I think the last time I saw a rumor like this was a forum from, like, 2017. They were talking about OpenSpot releasing the OpenSpot 5 Pro or something that was going to have All-Star built in, but I'm pretty sure that was just someone spitballing because there's been no leaks, no information, no talks of it. So I was going to hold off for that, but I just bit the bullet and bought the OpenSpot 4 Pro. And I'm super happy with it. I actually need to start using it more. I should just, like I said, bring it in a bag with a DMR radio and hop on the local statewide stuff. But Sean's got one, too. I mean, a lot of guys have them. Sean's got one. He's super happy with it as well.
Okay, really good. Do you work in the weekend field day?
Was that last weekend?
Yeah, I couldn't get it off. I had less hours than me, and they refused to work, and I couldn't take a personal day, and because there would be nobody to cover the job.
I didn't even realize that was last weekend. My whole house had the flu, so we didn't do really anything last weekend.
No, that's no good. That's kind of like what I had. I activated one of my parks because I had to stay over every day for 12 hours. So I got up in the afternoon and activated the park, and I was the only one home. So I stopped at a fast food place. And I went to Taco Bell first day, and I don't know. I think their food was, there's something wrong with it. I didn't feel too good the following day. Kind of flu-like, had the chills and some other stuff, and I don't know, but I got over it.
I had the same experience with Chinese food last Thursday. I was... two of the kids got sick and were throwing up, and then my wife got it the day after. I'm like, oh, cool. Like, I feel fine. The little guy feels fine. And then she started feeling better Thursday. She wanted Chinese food, so we got Chinese food. And I woke up 3 o'clock in the morning, Friday morning, with it making an exit. And I'm like, man, did I get sick or was it food poisoning? Because then later that day, I was fine.
Yeah, the following day I was feeling better, but I think it was from Taco Bell. But I've since gotten over it somewhat. So, but so nobody was home. So at least for 12 hours, both days on the weekend. So I dialed my thermostat down to 58. And that's kind of cool. I've never done it remotely. I could do it off my phone. And I was in, like, Sam's Club, and I thought, oh, I could be coming home. I might as well start ramping it up. I'll turn it up to 60. And so I turned it up, and all of a sudden, like, my screen turned red. And, you know, the furnace is on, you know.
bought this house, that was like the first thing I did was put in a smart thermostat, and it's a huge convenience, quality of life improvement. The one I have, I'm not crazy about. It's a Nest thermostat, and I don't like that I can't just set it to say I want the house to be 68 all the time. I can't set a hold for 68 more than 24 hours, which is frustrating. But other than that, it's cool. And it's got this house occupy feature, so it actually detects if people are at home, which is, you know, whatever. I don't know how I feel about that. Excuse me. And it heats and cools accordingly to, like, the presets that I have for it. So someone's always home, which means it's always occupied and doing what it's supposed to do. But, yeah, it's nice being able to just check on the house and turn it up or down if I'm home or going home or whatever.
It's that mobile. Yeah, okay. Yeah, the one I got, TCU would like to hook into it, and I refuse to let them. The Sensi, I think it's, but anyway, it's kind of nice. It's got some fan feature on it. Every once in a while, the fan will cycle. Just for no reason at all, it'll just cycle the air.
Mine has that too, and then you can like set how long the fan runs after the furnace or the air turns off or before it turns on, kind of deal. It's kind of cool. I think it just, you know, keeps the air from getting stagnant, tries to circulate the hot or cold air and make sure it's one area is not cold and one area is hot or whatever. I'm just now starting to get into some of the smart home automation stuff. Like, I just put in a whole bunch of lighting. I think I've got, maybe 27 or 30 GE fixtures and bulbs. So that's cool because I can control pretty much all the lighting in the house on my phone now, inside and out. Thermostats on there. Switch one of the TVs over. So it's pretty convenient, but it's all internet dependent, right? So then you got to make sure that works good.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Does that there's no way, like from the your wall switch, you could turn it on when you're in the room?
Yeah, when I put them in, so like all my kitchen lighting is on switches. So I mean, I can turn the switches off like a traditional light. But then I can't control it, you know what I mean? Like, I have to physically turn the switch back on if I want to control the lights again. So that's really the only difference. The plus side is it's all automated, so I can just tell Siri to turn them on or off.
Hey. Yeah, I got a couple in the house that Alexa controls, and I just tell Alexa that, you know, turn such and such light on. And then the other thing I use Alexa for, because of my work schedule and stuff, I'll tell Alexa to wake me up at 4 p.m. And, you know, the alarm will go off at 4. And I can have it set multiple. I can have it set to go off again at 4:15 if I, like, want to snooze mode.
Would you believe me if I told you I haven't used an alarm in probably 2 years?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I wish I had that capability. But there's always somebody waiting for me at work to be relieved.
Yeah, your schedule's a little bit different than mine. Fortunately, my schedule's been pretty much the exact same schedule for the last 10 years. It's always been 7 to whenever. So I just wake up at 5 o'clock every day, no matter what, even on the weekends. Like, 5 o'clock, on the dot, I'm awake.
Got a good circadian rhythm, then.
Either that or I just have my body trained that at 5 o'clock I've got to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, I hear you on that. Charlie, the deer out by your house been pretty plentiful, or I haven't seen any in my yard for a while.
I've had a couple through the yard the last couple days. Just unfortunately, where I'm at, so there's 60 acres of farm just to the south of me that I bought up again, and the farmer clear cut like everything, cut down every tree within a mile, and I think that kind of just pushed a lot of them out of it because they're doing more of them before them to go. And then they planted beans this year, so there's not a whole lot of crop left over from the green time. But some of the places I hunt, there's plenty. They're all herded up right now because it's freezing cold.
Yeah, I got
fours you like, you.
It was a bow season, and that's it for the year, huh?
I got you in there, Joe. Gary, what'd you say? I didn't catch that, sorry.
There's just a couple more games of bow season for this year, and that's it, isn't it?
Yeah, I shot another doe, I think it was the last week in a gun with my buddy, last day of gun, actually. But there's an orchard by my house that we're on nuisance tags, so we actually get to hunt year-round there. So if I need to go shoot more deer, I can just go over there, which is thankfully only like 15 minutes from my house. Joe, go ahead, pick it up.
Yeah, KE4ZYQ, I couldn't help but want to chime in. Good morning, gentlemen. And hope you have good travels, safe travels to work and back, and a good day. I couldn't help but chime in about the getting up in the morning thing. Wait till you retire. When I retired due to disability, I was programmed to get up at 5 in the morning. And I did that for several years without a clock. In fact, when I was working, I don't know if I set a clock, but I usually turned it off and woke up before it. When you get your body programmed for it and get synchronized, it's kind of neat, because I hated clocks. And I think my subconscious said, I don't want to hear that, you know, that noise. So my mind would remember when to get up, and I woke up, turned the clock off, and got going. So just thought I'd throw that out, KE4ZYQ, and pass it on.
Morning, Joe. Yeah, I think that might be part of it. I was being startled and woken up to an alarm. But even, yeah, same thing. Back when I did set an alarm, I would still wake up before it, and it was probably because of that. So I think I actually sleep better now because I don't have an alarm waking me up. I don't know. Could be just making things up here, but it's kind of nice not having that startling start to my day.
Yes. Well, I get home, so you're going to have a good day, and have a good morning. KE8 Mobile.
I'm about 5 minutes from the office here, so I'm going to jump out as well. So I will catch everyone maybe this afternoon, if not tomorrow morning. NHDDF.
7-3 to you both, and have a great day. Safe travels. KE4ZYQ, clear.
KCHK2, good morning, Lance.
Hey. Actually got some clear roads due north today.
Yeah, I'm going to be heading that way shortly. Just got to get a hold of my coworker and got to go up to Flint.
Yeah, I heard yesterday you're going up to Flint somewhere.
No, yesterday was Detroit and Southfield and Dearborn and Livonia kind of stuff. You know, we're going to Flint today. Got to go up to some Vision Institute up there.
No, I heard yesterday that you're going to Flint today.
sometimes I get confused on where I'm going every day. And I'm like, okay, what do I got to do? I got to do this, I got to do that. Yeah, today it's Flint. I don't know if we're going to pick up something else or not. You know, we'll figure it out.
And where is it you had to go in Flint? Where the hospitals or whatever?
It's on Gateway. Like Gateway Circle or something like that. So, it's some Vision Institute.
Familiar, but I don't know. I haven't been in the area that long. I'm just starting to get used to the downtown-ish and where everything's at.
Michigan Vision Center, it's over by off Gateway Circle, so Hillway 23.
That's the place. Good morning, Fred.
Blah, blah, morning.
That almost sounded like it's still evening for Fred.
I work most of the night with all this weather and stuff and what he does.
No, I actually fell asleep at, midnight. So nature just woke me up, so I went pee, and now I'm like, all right, I guess I better, it's already after 7, I might as well just get up and go downstairs. So I got up and came downstairs, I refilled my water bottle and grabbed a white drink. I'm down here going through my email.
Sometimes when you're doing IT, you burn midnight oil and sleep the day away. just Saturday, I woke up at 5:30 and I was up. I was going back to sleep.
Oh yeah, I'm the same way. I went to bed at just a little bit after 10 last night. And, didn't even get to watch emergency like I do every night. I just got so darn tired, I just said, okay, I'm just going to bed. You know, so put the cat out of the room, brought the dogs in the room, and then went to bed, and then I got up at 5:45 this morning, which is fine, you know, because I try to leave the house between 7 and 7:30, right now. But even on the weekends, yeah. You're so used to a certain schedule, then on Saturday and Sunday you wake up and why?
I did, I just clocked in and it said, 16.5 hours already this week. So I think I know I did at least 11 and a half or 12 yesterday of it, so. Yeah. I'm waiting. Today the insurance guy is going to do a walkthrough for his office and take photos and stuff so that they can and get my renter's policy for the new office before we move in on Monday. Waiting for him to tell me that he's got photos.
So you're moving out of the basement into an actual square box with windows, Fred? You can answer that on your next round there. Go ahead, Lance.
Get Fred out of the basement? You're crazy. The place you work for is moving offices around, closing offices, condensing, and all that other stuff.
Yeah, you're funny. I'm not leaving my basement. No, our Lowell office, we're moving from where we are to 1,200 feet down away from us. We're still downtown, but we're moving right to Main Street. So the building we were in is a trash dump dumpster fire. No, there's no air conditioning, no hot water. The heat hardly works. The building got sold. And so, yeah, we're, rent is way too high for what it is. So we're moving the Lowell office. But then we're also, we're moving out of our Oxford office. It's a trash hole, too. You see, when we buy these newspapers, you know, we kind of keep their locations for a couple years. And then we'll find something more suitable, you know. So we're doing that for Oxford, too. But Oxford, three-quarters of the staff are going to the Ortonville office because it's only 10 minutes away and from where Oxford or Ortonville or Oxford is. But it's a much nicer, smaller office. Has heat and everything. And the other couple other people are going up, moving up to the Lapeer office because that's where they live closer to Lapeer. So. Got to pull the rest of that stuff out of that office Thursday. And then next week I have to go to Lowell and wire the Lowell office and unpack everybody in that office. That's next week now. But I am not moving out of the basement. No. I am stuck here till I'm dead.
Well, you sound like my office. I had our office in Madison Heights, and then one of the other divisions moved into an office in Madison Heights across the street because they had a bigger warehouse. And then we closed our office because the lease was up, and we moved into our Auburn Hills office, which is a bigger building with smaller stock rooms. It's weird. We own the building in Auburn Hills, and we sold the building, and now we lease the building.
I've heard that's how we are, too. They sold the building and they leased it to a tax write-off or something crazy like that.
Well, we bought the North Oakland collection of papers. We didn't buy the property. We just bought the publications. So the prior, you know, owner of said publications, he owned the Oxford building. We didn't want to buy the building. So we were just renting from him another couple of years, too much longer, but we just didn't have time to deal with it. So same thing on the Westside papers. We bought the publications, not the property. And we moved Hastings to something away from him. Lowell was the last one. Of course, he sold the Lowell building last. They closed on it last week. So now we're completely clear of the old owner of all the pubs now, basically. Yeah, independent landlords.
Yeah, that's what our company did. I mean, it's that they sold the building and now they just rent it out. Because, you know, when they owned it, you know, they're paying the property taxes and everything else. For now, it's just subleasing and somebody else pays the property taxes. And then they have a maintenance company that comes in and takes care of it. But since we have an HVAC division, if there's any problem with the equipment, just send one of the guys up there to fix it.
Company, but it's, you know, left hand, right hand. You know, we have a company that would own each building was owned. The north building was owned by one company, another the south building was owned by another company. And then, you know, we would lease, the individual companies would lease the building from the shell, the shell company kind of deal, from tax liability, a way of splitting, you know, because you got two companies in that building, they would split things, and that's how you can make clear definitions on things, you know. One entity owned it, and then paid the other companies to pay leases into that thing, and there's a whole thing for it. The bookkeepers all did that, but, you know, it's very common. That's what we, you know, I've got a number of property holding companies that hold the property and handle things for the individual property, and then our companies, you know, lease from said holding companies.
Yeah, it gets confusing after a while, but looks good on paper, so they say.
I went to a holding company to get a hug, and they told me I was in the wrong place.
Come up here, I'll give you a hug, all right?
Good morning. Supposed to be another chilly one.
Good morning. Heard you chattering earlier. Just wasn't out and about just yet. Over to land, KCAK Jill.
He's in the hole. Yeah, it's a balmy 7 degrees here at the Grand Blanc Depot.
That's what I'm showing, 7 degrees, and I heard the wind chill. Whoop, could get as low as minus 20. I'm going past the fire station here, and the flag is blowing pretty briskly. So, nothing like 7 degrees and a strong wind. Ah, well, I'm just out on the road. This is the first I've been on the radio today, Tom. I'm just heading over to my first stop, which is right by my house, and I've got work to do there. A lot of running around for his cold out, but I'm dressed for it because that's how I roll.
Yeah, thank goodness we're not. We got cameras we got to do, but it's too cold and we're not going, you know. My coworker's not going up on a boom lift in this weather, so we put it off until we take the lift, you know, take the boom back and we'll call you when it's a little warmer, and the customer knows that too. But it's 6 degrees here at 69 and KPAC Road, and I'm on the Richmond repeater, so here's a good area for you, Sean. Go ahead, Greg. I'm going to land this back.
I guess you're here in Clarkston, too. Sean, do you have minions to be running?
Well, you would think we have minions, but, you know, this is why we get paid the big bucks. Us, you know, management officer types, we have to go around and supervise the minions and make sure that things are okay for the minions to do the hard actual work.
Well,
you know,
Michael, we're going to
be
looking
out
for the
locations
do the work
where
today
the hard
because
actual
of
work
because of that.
Done.
And our,
I've got,
my turn. He listens to us.
First stop.
And he goes, okay.
I do have
and we got you feel ready to do it. And
so,
get it all scheduled again.
I got this babble in there.
And
one
that's
place
all
I can
my
co-worker.
Everybody else, well,
so,
you know.
So, got to do some
we all work
council
together
configuration.
One way or another.
Coordinate
and accommodate for our safety.
Boots is a shield. See if everything's working. Anyhow, I'm going to run into Starbucks here, get myself a brew of some sort, I don't know what, and I will be back shortly. Tom, W8FU.
KCAKJL, I'm going to pass over to Lance and I'll grab the next round.
Well, I don't know how if I can follow that one up, Fred.
I wanted to pile in, you know, get the mixture going of all that brotherly RF.
Yeah, this cold weather, I do say one thing is, being in Lapeer County, I can still bounce off the Richmond repeater and I can hear Warren just fine.
Don't forget about
Mayville.
How does Mount Clemens sound? KE4ZYQ.
KE4ZYQ is the one, and Joe, you sound great on the Mount Clemens repeater. I said, I'm traveling here, and I'm still hitting the Richmond repeater, so we got good coverage today. Romeo was a little bit staticky, so I had to jump back to Richmond, but I'll probably lose something somewhere. Over to the next. Lance, you out of the hole yet? KCAKJL, we'll wait for Sean. He's getting his morning brew. I got it.
Yeah, it should be out of the hole in a couple miles. Traffic is apparently
enough. Was it a triple shot this morning, Sean, or a double shot, or did you get some fancy schmancy one today? I got a pistachio latte.
So I have no idea how many shots are in it.
Sounds like a latte.
That actually sounds intriguing.
Yeah, they're really good. Not too sweet. Just a nice kind of, you know, pistachios got, when it's usually made into some sort of baked or drink or something like that, it's got kind of a, I'd almost say a little bit of a light vanilla cherry kind of a thing going on. I don't know. It's uniquely pistachio. So here I am at 12 Mile and Mound Road in Warren, Michigan. There's a sheet going up, and it looks like they're barreling toward completion, but still not yet.
I got a question for you guys, if you don't mind answering, just out of curiosity. I know you guys are working, most of you, all of you, and I'm not. But do you have a go-to game on your phone, your tablet, your computer, you know, like chess or backgammon or whatever? Do you have a go-to game you kind of gravitate to when you got time to burn? KE4ZYQ. Over to you, Sean.
Yeah, I don't want this to sound, you know, like it means anything, because it doesn't, but I haven't played a game on my phone and you probably have to go back to Angry Birds. I think I tried that 15 years ago. I can't remember. It's about the, I just, there's no reason in particular. I'm not, you know, above it all or anything like that. I just don't. I don't know why. I'm not a gamer in general. So, nope, not I.
I'm with Sean. I gravitate towards the cafeteros.
KCAKJL. I usually don't play any on my phone. Once in a blue moon. Besides that, I'm reading emails and responding to emails and Teams messages and everything else when I have a downtime.
I don't blame you guys. You guys are working still and families, whatever.
Wait till you get retired and you got a little spare time, maybe, if you got spare time. Yeah, it's just something to keep the mind active and challenge yourself and, yeah, pass the time while you're waiting for something else to happen or take care of something. You guys have a good day. I don't want to interrupt too much your roundtable you usually have, but have a good travels and good work and safe travels home, KE4ZYQ. Yeah, all right, Joe. Well, don't go away. Just stay in the rotation. But, well, whatever. No, I agree. I think, you know, some games, if you choose wisely, are good for helping you keep sharp and stuff like that. So, it depends what you're playing, obviously. But they're not necessarily negative. I know a lot of people do things like crosswords and wordles and things, and you know there's a time there's a time factor involved, and that would strengthen vocabulary, I would think, and other various things. So games are not always what you think. They're not always Angry Birds, and they have value. But I just find myself, when I do have the time, when it's not work-related in any way, when I'm not looking at emails and everything like that, I'm either down a rabbit hole of something I'm reading about, and I'm just finding more, that's generally what I do in my downtime. And that's almost a game as well, but you get looking something up or you see something that catches the eye. It can be anything, too. It's a game, you know. You'd be on YouTube and you'll see a video go by. Yeah, this morning, in fact, I was waiting the car to warm up, I was watching a video and doing a little reading on this CCOT prison that they got down in El Salvador. And, that's totally, you could say that would be my game time. I was just, I happened to be on that. Not a very pleasant story, but... That's where I go when I got time to burn. I was just waiting for the car to warm up, so I guess that's what I do. Lance?
Yeah, I'm just on YouTube watching videos or reading news articles or whatever. And then I flip up the laptop and start doing some programming on something. Playing something with technology or whatever.
Yeah, I know KE4ZYQ. I know I have, I don't know if you guys have any kind of a Google Earth of cameras or live cameras on your phone. I got a couple apps that are live cameras all over the world, and you can go to Africa or downtown, Times Square, live camera feeds, and stuff like that. It's kind of interesting. Travel all over the world through camera view, and a lot of them are live, and stuff like that.
I don't know if we lost Tom or not, but that's fun. I've done that a few times, and that can be a lot of fun. And I don't ever think of it, but yeah, that can be fun. I'll do a little bit. You know, sometimes I'll just aerial views. I found a really cool one. I was up snooping around in Dakota's neck of the woods, and right near him, there's a jet caught perfectly in the just a little south and east of him. There's a jet that's caught in the camera. I'm sure that's happened many, many times, you know, with the survey from the sky they've got, but it's just kind of cool to see that. Anywho, I am pulling up at Warren 2, which is where my day begins, and I'm going to get inside and start my work, because I've got a 10 o'clock meeting I got to be on, and I got a 1 o'clock I got to get to in Mount Clemens, so I can't be dragging my feet. And the VHF antenna is leaning again. Oh, my God. Every time I look at it, it bothers me. I've known it's leaning again for a while. All right, I'm pulling into the parking structure. I'm out of here. This will be my last W8FU. Tom, if you're back, otherwise, go to Lance.
Well, given the wind that that hospital took, when it took out, I'm not surprised it's leaning. Google Maps stalking could be fun. We got cameras all over the state if you look at the Siemens website. There's some on the bridge on the west side of the state and middle of the state everywhere. And they even make the news in the weather report. They do a little local camera. And pretty much every news report, one of our cameras showing on the air.
And if you guys can hear me, I'm in a bad spot. KJKJL. I'm going to get all for right now.
You're hitting the Macomb with 60 over.
Well, that's crazy. I'm the Mayville Tower right now on 69, just west of Lapeer.
No. Macomb is hitting you with 60 over, and it always will. All right, W8 of you. I'm sorry, I need a little pass on that, being retired. I'm sorry, yeah, but he's making it through the book call, which is what I'm receiving. Thanks, Sean.
I'm about to go underground
AAB
Alaska. Like 73.
Oh, now I got a little bit of clarity in there. KCKJO.
Not that I'm on an app for KE4ZYQ, but I'm just curious, does anybody have scanner apps. There's some scanner apps out there where you can scan and program it for like MI1 or 2 or whatever that the radio link is. A lot of the radio frequencies on the scanner app. Pretty interesting to have, especially with their power outage or something.
Good morning, 0800 hours, cloudy, 6 degrees. Good morning, 0900 hours, cloudy, 8 degrees. The National Weather Service has cleared all products for our area. Good morning, 1000 hours, cloudy. 13 degrees. Good morning, 1100 hours, cloudy, 16 degrees.
W8FU.
Good afternoon. 1200 hours. Cloudy. 16 degrees. Good afternoon. 1300 hours. Cloudy. 16 degrees.
Okay, who ordered the snow?
Good afternoon. 1400 hours. Cloudy. 15 degrees.
Everyone else driving, Tom?
KFATPZ.
Yeah, I'm out here. Got one more run I gotta do, figure it out.
Yeah, I'm back home for a few hours. It's snowing pretty good where I'm at right now. Looks like there's a couple bands of snow coming through.
Oh, I've already been through it. I'm over here on 23 and Romeo Plain.
Hey, you get all the fun.
Yeah, thank goodness I have an all-wheel driver. I wouldn't have been able to get out of the driveway this morning, or actually out of the front of the house, depending on my truck was buried.
I hear that. Clouds finally came through my neighborhood, which means now I gotta take a vehicle out. I get all the fun, too.
Yeah, you can put that thing in four-wheel drive, though, and you can plow off pretty good.
Well, if I had to, I could, but the way that's set up, it's the most basic four-wheel drive system Chrysler had to offer when I bought it. And basically, it's either all-wheel drive or four-lock. And to engage the lock, I have to be moving. Well, I didn't copy that last, but with the all-wheel drive on, I'll be able to get it out. It's just I have to do just a little bit of digging. They only made it like a foot deep around it. A few minutes work with a shovel, everything will be fine.
No, I said the four lock. I know how that goes, so I had to use it a couple times. I have the same exact model, just a year older.
It was either that year or the year before that they introduced it, too. I don't remember if it was 04 or 03 was the first year of that new body style.
2004, I had a 2005.
Well, then they were the same age, because mine is an 05.
Mine wasn't the Hemi, though.
Neither is mine. Mine's got the 4.7 in it. It was just fine for what I needed to do.
Yeah, I think mine was the same. It had the 3.18 in it.
Yeah, like I said, it's sufficient to the test that I've put it to.
You know, I got no complaints about it.
Oops, got a phone call. I'll be back. 88 KGO.
All right, copy that. I'll be here for a few minutes yet, so give me a shout out when you get back off the phone.
Good afternoon, 1500 hours, cloudy, 15 degrees.
KE8RUH. KE8RUH.
Good afternoon, 1600 hours. Snow. 14 degrees.
Hey, DBF.
What's going on, Dakota? KFADS.
Not much. Just making my way home. What about you?
I just got in from cleaning out the snow. I got to figure out a strategy. In the garage, where my wife parks the car, gets oil everywhere. I tried using kitty litter. That just made a mess. So I think I'm gonna go order some mats or something and just put that down. And when it's spring, I will wash it all out.
If you go on Amazon, they're relatively inexpensive. They make garage mats for parking your car on.
Yeah, that's probably what I'll end up doing. Put some mats down for that. But, yeah, it's just making a mess on the concrete. I kind of wish I epoxied or whatever they use today for the floors, but I couldn't afford it at the time. So I said, maybe later. I think there was some doubling or mixing, KFADS.
I don't know, was it me coming in weird?
Yeah, maybe I caught the tail end of what you were saying or something. There's a little bit of a delay. I'm on my M1KE.
We were just talking about that this morning.
Oh really? Who was interested?
Jerry was asking about the open spots, and then he said something about the mic, and I told him that you really like it. The really only downside to it is it's not a hotspot. It's its own gateway device.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you could always put a USB cord on the bottom of it and plug it into your car so that it has power, and then it would feel like a speaker mic.
I guess in theory you could do that.
Yeah, I mean, I prefer to talk on a proper radio, but like yesterday I was in Rochester and I had the small UHF antenna on and I was trying to answer somebody and I couldn't make the repeater and there might be something wrong with my antenna too, but so I went quickly tried to get the mic out, M1KE out, but the problem with the M1KE is it goes on the cellular, and if your IP address hasn't registered with All-Star in a while, it could take up to 5 minutes before you can even connect.
Yeah, that's the huge problem with portable nodes.
Yeah, I mean, especially if your trip is only like going to be like 10 minutes, you're going to be in the car for a little bit, want to say hi to somebody, and then go out of the car, it's not worth it. But if you go to like a trip to Ohio or something like that where you're not in the range of the repeater, but you want to, nothing's going on down there, so you call back up here, because people are on, it works great for that. And then the open spot, it's really only for the digital radios, so that's the thing with that. But you can make either work, it's kind of like, I solved the problem just by both, right? So that you have the best of both worlds.
I am really surprised that no one's come out with a portable All-Star node in a similar form factor. I feel like it's got to be achievable.
You're talking about like what the M1KE does, or actually like so that it can interface with your radio?
I'm talking about the open spot, but not digital. Just like an open spot form factor and ease of use, but for All-Star.
Yeah, I think the consensus there is that it's easier just to hook up a Raspberry Pi OS, you're just better off having that as your OS and be done with it. I mean, yeah, I don't know why they haven't done it. There's probably, because they've done it with the M1KE, so it's technically possible. I think maybe there's some RF issues.
It's definitely two worlds colliding, so I'm not an expert on either, so I don't know how I would go about it, but I feel like it's possible. It's just maybe the demand isn't there, but if there was a OpenSpot-esque All-Star node, I imagine the thing would sell like hotcakes for the same price or more.
Yeah, I mean, who knows, maybe the next OpenSpot will have that. They may even be thinking about it, but they're probably going by what's selling right now and what they have. I mean, I don't know what's going on in the minds of the Shark RF people. So maybe it's just they don't have enough people to help them or what.
Or like you said, there's issues with it, and from what I can tell, everything they release is a very polished, finished project or product that doesn't need anything after the sale, and they probably don't want to ruin that.
Yeah, or they're using the M1KE here as a test bed for it, right? So well, now we got it working over here. We've achieved that. Now let's see if we can build an all-in-one product that does it. So who knows? Maybe it's coming, and we just don't know yet. If it is coming, I have a feeling, though, it's going to be like one of those things where it can only do one thing at a time. Like, so you're not going to just you have to do that anyways, right? You have to switch it into all-star mode, and then it will only work that way. But I have a feeling there's probably some kind of buzzing or interference. You know, what would be also cool is if they had an external antenna port on it, too. That would maybe help.
I would be totally okay with it being a dedicated all-star node, and that's all it does, and it does it well. Kind of like the clear node, clear zero, that I don't know why doesn't exist anymore, but Sean's setup is pretty slick. Just small little Pi, I think it was a 02W with a battery on it.
I wonder if that DV Mega, I don't know if you've seen or if you have subscribed to his channel on Facebook, it's DV Mega. He's been putting out posts lately. He mostly builds the digital stuff, but I think he does build all-star nodes as well. I wonder if he's going to come up with something.
I wish I had the time to apply myself to develop something, because I feel like everything out there that you need exists. It's just compiling it all together to make it work.
Oh, yeah, you could make your own. I mean, there's nothing stopping you from getting a Raspberry TW, and you've got a 3D printer, so you can experiment with making cases. And after that, it's just installing the Raspbian Trixie image on it, and that's your node.
Well, that's the easy part. The hard part's the RF DAC.
Well, have you seen that hotspotradio.com? He's got like that little sidecar dongle. It just plugs in the USB. So I wonder if you could take something like that and kind of sandwich it with it. I mean, that's pretty much all the clear node is they just took they're not going through the USB port. They're going through the GPIO pins. But if you're okay with having it be external, where you have the node being... You know, and I used to do this. I had you remember the old MMDVM hotspots? They had they came in a case and all that stuff. I just used that, and I used the USB port to plug in the hotspot radio, and that worked fine.
I think I remember that. You used the mobile for a bit, right?
Yep, the only reason I stopped using it is because it broke. I don't know what I did, but something fried, and so I couldn't use it anymore. That was the end of that. I didn't buy a second one, but I think if you really want an ultra-portable node, you want it to be like you're going to have to do Raspberry Pi. I think that's just... It's your best option. Yeah, you know, it can be set and forget. It can be an appliance, and you load it once, and then you don't have to touch it after that. And then you just plug this USB dongle thing in it, and that's your RF.
Yeah, I would just have to figure out the battery and the case. What? I don't know how small I'd be able to make it. Yeah, that's what I mean. It's just kind of weird. For how popular hotspots and nodes are, that there's not a... The clear zero thing, why that died, really does confuse me. I am literally driving into a whiteout. Oh, my God. It was sunny at Hall Road. I'm at 26 Mile Road, and everyone's slamming on the brakes because there's, like, no visibility.
Hey, I wonder if that's the same storm that rolled through here. We had, like, a little whiteout for a moment, and then it went away.
There was a double in there, and Dave won.
Go ahead to who I doubled with.
Hey, KJL. Hey, guys. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Tom. I'm pretty sure
what's
I'm
going on here.
Go ahead,
Whiteout, Dakota. And Dave, where are you hiding out at today?
Oh, I'm just hiding out at home. I just got done clearing the snow and had my lunch, you know, at 4 o'clock. But I hadn't eaten all day, so I was hungry. But, yeah, not doing much here.
I'm just trying to get home, and it's like I just drove into another continent. It's crazy how drastically different those couple miles were.
I 100% agree. I was driving. I had to come here to the bank in Marysville, going down 94, and I passed the M19 exit, and then all of a sudden, boom, I got a whiteout all the way till almost to Fred Moore.
Yeah, I was telling Dakota, I think that was the storm that was, it must have been going from the south. Well, I don't know how they got to you, Dakota. I'm thinking I went from like the southwest to the south to the northeast, but then it came up to you. So maybe it just went south to north or something, but we had a little white out here for a little bit and then it stopped.
When I checked the weather this morning, it said 0% precipitation, and I should know better. But now traffic sucks. And then there's teenage girls trying to fly past me that don't know what they're doing.
That's most people that are on the road.
And if they didn't have tinted windows and you can look into their car, you'll see that they're on their phone.
And now I'm at 29 mile, and the sun's coming back out.
Doesn't it figure when you get home, it's a nice sunny day? Couldn't have it when you're driving.
Yeah, I think everybody's ready for spring. I mean, I don't think we didn't have this last year. It's just the constant snow. But, you know, we were overdue for it.
It doesn't bother me. I like the snow. If it's going to be cold, I'd rather there be snow. It's when it's snowing and I got to commute that it bothers me because most people don't want to drive on dry pavement, and then it snows, and then it's even worse.
Oh, everybody knows how to drive in the snow. You know that. They all stand there and say, I know how to drive in the snow. And then they end up, you know, smacking on the side of the street because, like Dave said, talking on the phone or watching something on the phone and not paying attention to the road conditions.
And maybe it's because we haven't had so much snow in recent years that people lost their experience of how to drive in it. I don't know. But it always cracks me up when I see a cop pulling over a truck that thinks they're invincible, and they're probably speeding down the road, and the cop pulls them over.
Usually people who think just like that, I have a truck, I can do whatever I want in the snow, but four-wheel drive doesn't mean four-wheel stop.
Absolutely. Four-wheel drive means that you can get through the muck, but still doesn't make you want to, you know, fly down the freeway in icy conditions, doing 70, you know, where you know that your stopping distance is going to be way less than what you think it's going to be.
Then I got to wonder about the electric vehicles, like the Teslas and all that. I know they're heavy, and they have the four-wheel traction stuff going on, but do you think they're better or worse than a truck?
A common misconception with pickup trucks is that they're good in the snow. They're actually terrible in the snow unless you have weight in the bed. They generally have power. They're generally, well, unless you're in four-wheel drive, they are always rear-wheel drive, and there's no weight above the rear axle, which means you have hardly any traction. So as soon as you start to lose traction on the road, the back tires start to spin, and then your rear end starts sliding everywhere. So I would rather, if I had to have a vehicle just to drive in the snow, I'd rather have a four-wheel drive SUV, or an all-wheel drive SUV.
That's a say, thank goodness that I got this Transit 150. It is all-wheel drive, and I could put it into slippery mode, and it works. And then when I try to get out, because I got snowed in this morning, or I got plowed in, I put it under the mud and rut one, and I was able to back up and plow through the snow, because, you know, high RPMs, low tire revolution. Got me out, so I know it works.
Yeah, that's one thing I debated on, getting all-wheel drive or just get front-wheel drive, and I ended up going front-wheel drive just because I know I don't drive that much, and the extra cost wouldn't have made it worth it. So, but I haven't had an all-wheel drive car yet.
I don't think I would make it without one.
Oh, my Escalade was all-wheel drive, but right now she's on the crap list because I got to replace the half shaft on the driver's side because the U-joints are starting to lock up and make that noise. So she's just sitting there so I can get rid of her. I'm done spending money, you know, dumping money into it.
I really hope this cop's pulling this guy over that's blocking the zipper merge. I will be the happiest man. You know, like when there's a zipper merge, Tom, at 34 or 30, I don't know, what is that, 33 and 53, and people decide to shut down the left lane by just, oh, you did pull him over? Yes!
Yeah, they know it's going to cut down, so they floor it, and then they cut you off.
Yeah, somebody did that with, we had a car accident over here. Somebody was doing that. So I was the a-hole that went in two lanes. It was like a block. He was so mad.
All right, sorry about that. So, yeah, no, he was trying to block the zipper merge. So he was trying to shut down the left lane so people couldn't zipper merge. So he was trying to make everyone funnel over sooner. And he did it to a Macomb County sheriff and got pulled over.
Oh, so he was blocking people from getting over because he wanted to be in front of everybody?
Yeah, he shut down the left lane like a half a mile before the left lane was supposed to merge, and he literally cut out in front of a Macomb County sheriff.
Love it. Serves him right.
Man, I think they should allow that, though, because you got all these people that go, like, really fast in that left lane, and then they, you know, they're trying to get somewhere in a hurry. And but I understand. The zipper merge is supposed to be let one person in, you go, let one person in, but nobody follows that. That's why, you know, that's why that guy does that.
Yeah, no, no doubt. Both sides are wrong. That guy's an idiot, and so are the people that try to fly up and cut other people off. Like, Michigan driver's license, you pretty much just have a pulse to walk in and go get it, and that's the problem, is no one's educated on how any of this crap works. Look how many people jump roundabouts.
Oh, I had that not too long ago. I was going in the roundabout, and I was in the roundabout, and somebody just pulled right in front of me. They didn't stop or anything. On the phone, almost sideswiped my car. I was mad.
This is Kilo Foxtrot 8, Echo Tango Quebec. Anyone here?
I get more annoyed when they think the yield is a stop sign.
Oh, yeah.
California,
yeah,
no,
stop
doubt.
Yield
being
flown
out of the
stop sign. Look how many zones are going to blow through.
There was a Kilo Foxtrot 8 hotel, maybe.
Hello there, KFADTQ. You can jump in rotation after Dakota. Dakota, go ahead.
I was just curious who was here.
Who was here as in, like, on the repeat?
You got me, KF8S, you got Dakota, N8DBS, and you got Tom, KC8KJO, and then you. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Hey, KJL, that's Darren, guys, KF8ETQ, one of the newer members of RP. Go ahead, let's see who we're going to pass it over to. Well, let's hit Dave and then shoot it over to Dakota.
Alrighty, I always forget what the P stands for in ARPC. And that's Public Service Corps. So I got it. I know the ARP, and I remember ARP because it's like a routing term and computer geek stuff. And then the SC. I know it's ARP SC. So go ahead, Dakota.
All right, Darren. Well, good to meet you. Don't be a stranger. You don't have to jump out if you don't want to.
He's on an HD, and I think we spooked him. He's a good kid. Smart as a whip, too, man. You want Linux stuff? He knows Linux. Scrambles my brain when I look at it, what he's talking about. Yeah, RPC Dave is Amateur Radio Public Service Corps. And if you look at the Macomb, ARPSC.org website, you'll see yours truly there in the background, looking all official and stuff.
Yeah, I heard the photo mentioned many times. I saw it. It's like, it looks cool. It looks like you guys have a very professional looking page there.
I have all the fun gadgets for that, and none of the time.
Oh, I love RC. It's fun, especially the fox hunting. I got my daughter into the fox hunting, so she made her very first one and only handheld Yagi. It's just a three element, I think. Any VDZ made all the connectors and put them together and stuff, and she's super excited about using it this summer. She's already got the cable on it. I just got to put a 4-inch piece of jumper wire between the antenna and the ground, and then she's got a little HD that's going to get programmed up for her so she can have some fun.
Yeah, if you guys were around in the 90s, Yusika used to do fox hunting. And my buddy at the time, and I don't know where he found the plans or how he did it, but he built a Doppler. It had like four LEDs and four antennas, and maybe it was more than four LEDs. I don't know. It would point in the direction of where it thought the signal was. And I do remember I built an attenuator. All it was two BNC connectors on both sides and a bunch of switches with various resistors, and it was able to lower the signal. And I found it one day, and I'm going, what is this thing? Oh, yeah, that's for that fox. But I've actually got, you can go on AliExpress and you can buy an attenuator there, and they have all the switches and everything for you. But it was fun to build my own at the time. Go ahead, Dakota.
I was just thinking how BNCs are one thing I haven't tackled yet. I have the crimper for work, but it's, Tommy, I'm sure you're more than capable of terminating plenty of BNCs, but I need to teach myself how to do that, mainly on like the thin coax stuff, so I can buy a big spool of it, make whatever size cables I need for the HF side of stuff, which I haven't touched HF in months. I feel like an idiot, but that Doppler sounds sweet. That'd be pretty cool enough to see in action in a fox hunt.
Well, in regards to BNCs, yes, they're quite easy, but the crimp-on ones suck because they fall apart, because all you're crimping on is the jacket for the coax. So if you give it a good tug, it's going to come off unless you got a real good crimper. But crimp it right down onto the ground of the BNC connector itself. But they always fall apart, every single one, in one reason or another. So I actually use twist-on. I got some for RG6, others for RG59. Those are better, because that one there, you can twist the shield back, and then it screws right onto the shield of the center conductor. Just don't, just make sure that your signal isn't too long, or you'll poke it out the other end. I mean, the other way is getting a BNC solder and just doing a solder on it. Way more effective. And then Dave, I looked on Amazon for that 878, and that's a little bit higher end. So I might just try to see if I can find another MD9600.
Oh, you meant the 578, I think. But yeah, they have a pro model now. I don't have that pro model. There's one where they added an airband, but who cares about airband? I mean, there's so many radios that have airband, is what I mean. Like, you don't really need it. But yeah, it has that BT01 that comes with it, or you can get as a part of that. But yeah, it's pricey. Yeah, 9600 would probably be your better bet. If you're just going to, keep it on DMR, you got to keep it on one frequency, then it's probably, that's probably all you need. I can only imagine what your car looks like with all these radios stacked.
Ask Dakota. He's seen my work truck.
Yeah, he's Inspector Gadget. Tom, that's good to know. I didn't think about that. It makes sense, though, especially on something like RG316 where there's really nothing to clamp onto. I have compression crimpers, so I don't know if those are any better or if we're talking about the same thing, because when you say crimp, I think of my LMR400 RG8N they have that I guess like a collar after you strip back the coax to a certain point. Those have been rock solid. I actually have one hanging outside. Oh, they're all crimped outside and in the truck, and they've all been, knock on wood, I've not had to touch a single thing.
Yeah, it's a different type of crimper. I mean, it's almost like an F-connector, where you put the coax through and you got the center end, but on the F-connector, you use the actual copper. But on the BNC, you're putting it into a metal jacket. But then it's just like a little metal collar that goes around it, and it's on a compression fitting. It's it's almost like a hex crimp, and you go on there and then you crimp it down. And when you tug on it, it just pulls off. No matter how hard you crimp it on there, they're worthless. They're pieces of junk. They're not worth it. So that's why we use the BNC twist-ons, because it's a better connection. If you do a compression BNC, go for it. That's way better, and you get a better connection on that. But we opt for the BNC twist-ons for 6 and 59, or for plenum and PVC, as we call it. And those ones work more effectively, and they don't fall apart on you.
I'm going to jump out of here, you guys. My wife just got home with the kids and all that, so we're going to... I got to help her with getting some stuff out. So I will talk to you all later. 73 for now. KFAS.
Yes, Dave. I'll get you later.
Inspector Gadget. Ah, okay. Very funny. I only got four radios. I got my Fusion in here now. I got my Motorola DMR. I got Wally's KP25. And then, of course, I got the P25 scanner. The 9600 Dakota is one I want to put in the Hyundai, my wife's new car. So that way I have DMR, UHF, VHF on it.
That 578 is on my short list, if not my next buy for a radio. It'd be the same exact thing as that 2730, but I'm not doing it until there's a migration to DMR, and so everyone that hangs out over here goes over there. I don't really have any intent on spending that kind of cash on a radio, but they are pretty sweet.
Well, I like that that TYT-9600, and that's a nice little radio. And it does open GD-77 once you load it in there. You know, so I like that. Like I said, my coworker's using it. It does GMRS, so it's all... So I have it programmed for him for FRS, GMRS, and that's it. He can't go on anything else because he doesn't have a ham ticket. He's just got the GMRS ticket. But I want to get another one, so at least I have a DMR in the other vehicle.
I had one very briefly, and then I returned it and ended up buying that 2730 and going a different route, but they're solid radios. They're built really, really, really well. Sound good, work good. OpenGD77's awesome on them. So yeah, no, that's a good choice, and the cost savings is definitely there, too. I don't think the upgrade is necessarily worth it unless you want snazzy bells and whistles. But, yeah, I don't know. You'll be happy with a 9600 for sure. I might even go that route. I don't know. We'll see. Like I said, there's got to be a large migration of people over here to go to DMR for me to justify it. And then the next thing I got to do, too, is I got to get with Sean and get my quote, repeater working at my house because, man, I can as soon as I get to Elmont, I can barely get out or here.
What's the 2730's cost? Like I said, I could put money into my Amazon account, and I can go from there. But I can't get it through Amazon unless it's under $300. Then maybe I can move that money around somewhere else.
Well, I have a 2730T, and I don't think those are on Amazon. The 2730As are, but they're overpriced because they're on Amazon. And they're dual VFO analog only. So I don't think that's going to fit the bill for what you're trying to do here.
Yeah, that's why I said I like the MD-9600. So it's just a simple DMR. So, because with that one, I'm just going to be traveling local. So just having a few of the DMR channels on it would be fine. Even though I got a full code plug for it.
Yeah, and that's actually, the 9600 new is cheaper than the 2730 new, so there's that. I was actually talking to Gary this morning. I've got an 878 and an open spot. I need to just start bringing the 878 in the truck and put it in my little RAM mount that I have here, and then keep an open spot in my bag. And just see what's going on DMR. I don't really pay attention to it at all.
Well, usually I'm on DMR if I'm by myself, or when my coworker splits off, and then I'll jump over to DMR on the Motorola, or if I'm heading out west, I'm always on there. If you look at all the hits, I'm usually up there in the top 10 for DMR hits.
All right, well, I'll start monitoring that. Maybe I'll catch you out there. And on that note, I am pulling in my driveway finally. The drive wasn't too bad, and I got to watch a nice little circus on the way home. So I'm going to clear out of here, and we'll catch you later. Clear for yours, 9-8-DBS.
Yeah, I'm just pulling into town myself, and I got to clear this run that I was on. All right, I'll catch you in the morning. 73, KCKJO.
Hey, Dylan.
Good afternoon, 1700 hours, cloudy, 11 degrees. Good evening, 1800 hours. Cloudy. 8 degrees. Good evening, 1900 hours. Cloudy. 9 degrees.
Copy that. Appreciate it. The front pull light is on in the yard, and there's a front porch light on. Just pull into the driveway all the way up to the garage. Through the gate, back porch is all lit up, and that's where it's sitting. I'll meet you out there a little bit. See you soon. N8WRO.
Copy that. I'll advise when I end up on M19.
Understood. Thanks. N8WRO.
N8WRO, K8LAX.
Go ahead, Dean.
I just passed the New Holland store. I'm coming into town now.
Copy that. Once you get north of Division 32, just a left on Park and then a left on Ridge. I'll see y'all back. Thanks. N8WRO.
N8WRO or K8LAX. Can you guys copy N8BZR?
BZR, I've got a copy. You were a little white at first, but you're getting it now.
Than you were before with Cliff. What's going on there, brother?
I don't know. I was talking to Joel a while ago, and it sounds like maybe I got a bad microphone. Maybe the PTT button. I'm not sure. I can't tell because I can't hear it. You know, there's no parrot. I can't hear it.
Okay, now, you know, that last one was perfectly fine. That was perfectly readable. But I did catch that very first one when you called out. And Cliff answered you, man. I didn't even know it was you. And then that second one, I think both Cliff and I realized it was you. But anyways, that last one was fine. So I don't know what's going on. N8WRO.
Yeah, it seems like sometimes it's good and sometimes it's not good. So think it might be the PTT switch. What do you think? Over.
I don't know. That last one was good as well. It's more, it's going to be like a rinse, lather, repeat thing. If you continue to have problems, that could be it, but I don't know. Got to go out and meet Dean. I'm handing off a go-kit to him, so N-8-W-R-O after you, Brian.
Okay, 73, thanks for coming back to me. This is N-8-B-Z-R. We are clear.
Good evening, 20, 100 hours, clear, 8 degrees.
N-8-W-R-O-K-E-8-L-A-X, FBI Richmond. N-8-W-R-O, and of course that's even clearer because of UHF, I guess. How copy on your side?
Loud and clear, no bacon. So this works well. I literally have this antenna sitting on its plate right on the kitchen floor inside the house. It's working really nicely, actually.
Ah, good deal. No opening up a window in this weather and putting it on top of a metal garbage can or something. Yeah, that's going to work for you, Dean.
Copy that. Appreciate it. I'm going to shut it down and set it off to the side, and we'll test again possibly tomorrow or Thursday, but we'll go from there. I just wanted to get it out, test it, and make sure I had everything down put, but this is a pretty self-explanatory kit if you know anything about Yaesu. So, awesome. I appreciate the test, Tim. I'll say 73s. I'm going to go lay down and get ready for my day tomorrow.
Sure thing, Dean. Copy that. Have a good shift tomorrow. I'm off to either watch the Pit or Landman. I don't know which episode here. One or the other. Have a good one. Get some rest for your shift tomorrow. We'll talk later. N-8-W-R-O, clear.
I definitely love me some Landman. 7-3, you have a good night. K-E-8-L-A-X, clear.
Good evening, 21 hours, clear, 7 degrees.
This is KFA FQN listening. This is KFA FQ. I want to wish everybody a good night and 73.
Good evening. 22 hours. Clear. 6 degrees. Good evening, 23 hours, clear, 6 degrees.